Welcome back to the Mike Shamari Show. My guest today needs no introduction, but I'll give him one anyway. He'll be at Villa Montalvo in Saratoga, California, Sunday, August 14th. And today is August 10th, he'll be at the IMAC in Huntington on Saturday, September 24th. His latest album, Orchestral Stories, comes out this fall. Please welcome David back to the show, David Benoit.
All right. Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
All right. Well, I don't know what else to... Well, I do know what to ask, but who knows what to ask after such a great interview last time. But there are questions, believe it or not. How did you first get into music?
Oh, well, I thought we had talked about that.
No, we said what were the early days of your career like, and we didn't ask how you got into it.
Well, how did I get into music? Music got into me.
Okay.
And it's been there ever since. I think it was just being lucky to grow up in a family with music and music playing a lot, and my dad playing professionally on the weekends, and my mom playing piano. It just was always there. So it was a natural progression for me to get into it.
Okay. Well, tell us once again about your history with the Peanuts specials.
Well, the Peanuts, that goes back to my first Christmas record. Do you remember that one?
Yes,
Christmas
I do, 1983.
Yeah, exactly.
Christmas time, yes.
And I recorded Christmas Time Is Here, and Lee Mendelson had the record, and he was the one that created all the television shows for Charlie Brown, also the writer of Christmas Time Is Here with him and Vince Guaraldi. He contacted me about writing the music for a Charlie Brown miniseries based on hearing that song and how I played it. And so I wrote that, and he was really happy with what I did. And then we just kind of hit it off, and then he introduced me to Charles Schulz, and then that was the rest is history, I guess.
Yes. We're talking with David Benoit, as if I needed to tell you that here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. When did you start conducting?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. My first conducting experience was with Lainey Kazan. I started off as her rehearsal pianist, and then I became her full-time piano player, and then got elevated to music director. And then I remember this story is very funny. She asked me, she had a date with an orchestra, and she said, "Have you ever conducted an orchestra before?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, no problem, you know." I'd never had, so I just wanted the jobs. And, you know, when we're young, we tend to, it's funny how I've gotten so much older and become so much more irritatingly honest. But anyway, so that's how it happened. I started working with her as a conductor and certainly learned the hard way. She was pretty tough on me, which she should have been. We become very close friends now. And then I kind of got I had some opportunities to work with some other singers like Connie Stevens and Ann Margaret in that vein. And then started conducting my own music, you know, film scores. And but I was always a kind of a piano player conductor, kind of, you know, sat up from the piano and gave the orchestra some cues, but never someone that could walk in front of an orchestra on a podium with a baton in their hand. So I actually took it seriously about 6 years ago. I started studying with Dr. Jan Robertson at UCLA, the head of the conducting department, now the dean of music at a college in Florida. And then I also got some training from Heitro Oyama, and then recently I've been doing a little bit of studying and mentoring with Maestro Kent Nagano. And then 4 years ago, I was asked to become music director of the Asia America Symphony Orchestra, and so I assumed the music directorship at that time. And then also during that time, I formed a youth orchestra called the Asia America Symphony Youth Orchestra. And so that's what's really, really accelerated my conducting career is working with those orchestras and having that podium experience, just being up there. In fact, we just did... just listening to it, we did an all Gershwin night, and I conducted American in Paris and the Concerto in F. And we had a classical pianist named John Nakamatsu play, and it was really, really fun.
Well, along those lines, tell us about the album coming out this fall, Orchestral Stories.
So Orchestral Stories is the record I've always wanted to do my whole career, and finally got permission to do it and by a new label that was very open to the idea. It's a very difficult sell for a label because it's so different than what I normally do. But it contains a symphonic tone poem in six movements, the story of Kobe, and then a short, it's a little fable that I wrote called The Centaur and the Sphinx. It's a piano concerto. And then three other short pieces, a piece I wrote with Ted Tanaka, a performance piece called L.A. Experience. And then two other pieces, one called 911, and I don't think that needs any introduction.
No.
And then a piece from a musical I've been working on with Mark Winkler called Something's Gotta Give, about the life and times of Marilyn Monroe. So each piece has its own little story with it, and that's how we came up with the concept. And then added to that, the orchestra we used was the Czech a National Symphony Orchestra in Prague, and I had a really nice opportunity to conduct that orchestra for the recording.
Yes, how was that?
Oh, it was awesome. It was just one of the great experiences I'll never forget.
Well, we're talking with David Benoit here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. Last week we spoke to Russ Freeman. You talked to him lately?
I just saw him two days ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We did a date with the Rippingtons at a winery up north.
Ah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
How's he doing?
It sounds like he's doing pretty good.
Yes, he sounded that way last week, too.
Yeah, oh, good.
Changing the subject, what albums have you been on with other artists?
Well, I'm on Kenny G's new record.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's with Barbara Streisand, and I can't remember the trumpet player's name from Cuba, but he's on there.
Arturo Sandoval?
Arturo Sandoval, and a lot of different people. I just played on a track on Rick Braun's new record.
Ah, yes, he's a good friend of yours.
Yes,
right.
And I'm also kind of involved in an interesting project of getting back to Charlie Brown, a new project of all contemporary artists doing modern renditions of the original Christmas show music, of that show that aired 40 years ago, and they're celebrating the 40th anniversary. So
it's hard to believe it's been 40 years.
40 years since that aired. And we have it's an absolutely amazing, pretty amazing roster of people. And so I had a chance to work with a lot of people I had never worked for, like Chaka Khan and Vanessa Williams. Brian McKnight, Norman Brown. Of course, you know, my friends Dave Cause, Rick Braun. But it's really, really turning out really, really nice.
Well, how have the fans been since our last interview?
Well, I have to ask them. I guess they're okay.
All right, well.
The last concert I did up at the winery, they seemed pretty enthusiastic. So, they're, you know, holding forth, and hopefully they'll be interested in checking out Orchestral Stories, something that's a little different side of me, and that they'll get something out of.
Well, at peakrecords.com, they have a sample of, I think, L.A. Experience, and it sounds really great.
Oh, thanks. Oh, yeah, I didn't know
You're
that.
Welcome. I'm really looking forward to it now.
It's something real different. I think there's a couple of cuts that would be, you know, L.A. Experience might be one. 911 would be a good one for radio in terms of the songs that are on there. Then they have the longer form pieces, but I think for the fans that have liked, especially the orchestral and the pretty melody stuff that I've done, they'll like this. It's different, but it's very much me, and it's a side of me that hasn't been explored in a long time on record. So it was kind of time.
Well, we're talking with David Benoit here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. It's his second appearance here. How has touring been?
It's been good. You know, it's this summer's. Hasn't, you know, truthfully been as busy as it has on other summers. You know, I guess it's you know, I decided, I elected not to get on a package this summer, and that seems to be what a lot of people are doing, is the packages, and I just wanted to spend a little more time with my daughter, and I'm also in the middle of this production project, and so I'm in the studio working on that, and so I just decided to kind of not push the touring too hard this summer. It's nice, I'm kind of home a lot more, and you know, I've got a few days. I'm going to the East Coast a couple of times, so it's still still got a few things going on. But a little light, a little easier this summer. Just actually kind of enjoying it.
Well, one of the places you're coming on the East Coast is the IMAC in Huntington.
That's right. That's one of the destinations. Yeah.
Are you going to be bringing an orchestra with you, or is it just going to be a regular regular
performance? No, just be my regular band. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Oh, I wish I could bring an orchestra.
Yeah, that would be nice, but.
Yeah.
Hey,
the cost involved would be a little prohibitive.
Mm. Okay.
Unless I was a Rolling Stone.
Yes. Well, along the lines of touring, what particular memory do you have from touring?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there, you know, there's just so many. You know, I don't even know where to...
I used to ask it just what memories do you have, but I asked Peter White that question, and he wanted me to make it particular memories.
Oh, well... I mean, the one that I always come up with is because it was just so extraordinary, was the first time I went to the Philippines in 1981. And, boy, this was a time I was just a starving nobody in Los Angeles and couldn't get arrested. And I had a hit record in the Philippines. I never even heard, I didn't know where that country was, you know, in the Philippines. And, you know, what nightclub am I playing? Who am I opening for? And, no, you're the headliner. And, sold out three nights in a 3,000-seat venue with a full orchestra. You know, this is somebody that couldn't even get a nightclub gig. And it was just, you know, and when I got to the airport, there were press meeting me. It was like that instant stardom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I rode in the limo, and the band rode in the bus, which was unheard of. I mean, so that was the singular... In my entire career, I think that has to be the wildest ride in my life, just because it was so completely out of context with the rest of my life at that time.
Hmm. You know, a couple of the artists we've had on have said they've been to South Africa. Have you ever been to South Africa?
No, I got to call my agent about that.
Okay.
Ago.
All right.
That's another market that's really emerging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Philippines has been a great market, in Japan and Korea now, and you know, South Africa is a new one that's really into jazz. And yeah,
yeah. The two artists we had, well, I'll be honest, Jay Bekenstein of Spyro Gyra and Dan Siegel. They both said that when they performed there, the people there, they hummed along with the melody of their songs.
Wow,
that's how big it was.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
But yes. But one final question. What do you hope the future holds for you?
Well, one thing would be what you said, some more touring and not so much the U.S., but, you know, Europe, South Africa, Asia, more conducting. I'd like to work more with orchestras and maybe eventually be, you know, become music director of another symphony or a pops orchestra and, you know, continue playing and... writing music, and yeah, that's about it.
Well, David, thanks again for another great interview.
Oh, my pleasure, Mike.
We'll see you at the IMAC on September 24th.
Okay.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Okay.
All right.
This has been David Benoit here on the Mike Shamari Show, and we'll be right back with a song by him.